Lecture 3, Peter the Great's Revolution.
As I mentioned last time, Peter the Great was viewed by many contemporaries and Russians as transforming the very nature of Russia as a nation, what it meant to be a Russian, as a ruler who, in other words, forced Russia, perhaps kicking and screaming, into the modern European world. And in part, as we've seen last time, this was a myth. But it was not, as we'll see in this lecture, entirely fanciful. This lecture looks at the reign of Peter I, Peter the Great as he became known, who ruled as Tsar from 1682 to 1725. It looks at his personality and his values as a ruler, as an individual. It looks at his most important reforms. And most importantly, it looks at the meaning of these reforms, especially the meanings of his efforts to modernize Russia, to westernize Russia. As I mentioned last time, at the age of 10, Peter the Great became a co-czar of Russia as Peter the First, alongside his half-brother, Ivan the Fifth, the son of Tsar Alexei, Peter the Great's father, and Alexei's first wife. And in fact, the two czars ruled together as co-czars until 1696, when Ivan died. At the age of 17, though, the regent Sophia, also Peter's half-sister, the daughter of Alexei and his first wife, was deposed from power. She ruled as regent up until this point. This was in 1689, and this happened when she tried to seize full control of the throne. She was overthrown, though, in part also because she was seen as too pro-Western, as being too connected to the foreigners whose role in Russia was increasing. And in fact, it's rather telling that almost immediately after Sophia was deposed, and it was essentially Peter's mother who had control over affairs since Peter was still off gallivanting about in the foreign quarter, a rather traditionalist reaction set in. Peter, of course, is busy studying technology and shipbuilding and was happy to leave the state in the hands of his mother and other relatives, including the Patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church. These people did everything they could for a short period of time to set back the clock of Russia's westernization. Traditional religiosity, for example, was strongly encouraged. Many Jesuits and other foreign clergy, whose influence was feared as possibly corrupting the true faith, were simply expelled from the country. But even within the church itself, dissenting views, arguments about possible changes in church liturgy or church ideas were violently, vehemently suppressed. General warnings were issued by the government, Peter's mother and the patriarch in particular, to interrogate any foreigner who wanted to come to the country under the assumption they're all dangerous, and to reconsider the presence of every foreigner who was there, to suspect them all as being a dangerous presence in Russia. In fact, the patriarch, the head of the church, who was very close to the ruling family, announced that he believed it was time to end the employment of all foreigners in Russia, and, as an important first step in that, to reject all toleration of foreign faiths, to expel all non-Orthodox from the country, which, of course, would make it impossible for foreigners who weren't Orthodox to live there. The army was even told to stop training in the Western manner. In fact, the atmosphere became so oppressive that many foreigners began thinking about leaving the country, and indeed some did. Indeed, some of them quite prominent and important foreigners, such as the Scottish military leader, General Patrick Gordon, a close friend of Peter the Great, the commander of the Russian armies, as had been chosen by Alexei, Peter's father, for this role. He said, "The time has come to leave Russia. Russia is not going toward the West anymore." Despite all this, though, the forces of westernization remained in some ways persistent, at least in the circle that Peter the Great spent his time in. He spent as much time as possible, indeed all his time now, in the foreign settlement, where he learned to speak Dutch, which would come in handy later when he traveled to Western Europe. He learned to fence. He learned to ride horses in the Western manner. He learned to dance new styles of dance, all, again, very Western and very forbidden in the Russian traditional context, certainly by the church. And he insisted that everybody associated with him, his court as co-czar, behaved and dressed in a completely Western manner.